at least in 5 minutes, at some particularly practical problem in the Christian life. And today we're going to look at the Christian and his home. I was talking recently to a student who was also a young Christian, and he was talking very enthusiastically about his college Christian union. They were having great times of blessing in the CU. Then he went on to say that he'd got linked up, after he'd become a Christian, with a good local church, and that he was involved in Sunday school teaching. And he was really thrilled that he'd come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, as so many of us have, and was able to serve him. So then I said, well, how are things going at home? Oh, not too well. It's rather difficult, you see. I don't know about you, but I find that a great many young Christians have problems when it comes to home and those who live there, especially our parents. And especially if our home is not a Christian home. If we ourselves have been converted away from home, perhaps through a local church or through a Christian union, or even here at Keswick, and now we've got to go back into a non-Christian and perhaps unsympathetic home. And one of the things which I found myself asking myself when this happened to me was, how can I witness to my parents? After all, they know me too well. They know just what I'm like. They knew what I was like when I was 3. And there hasn't been much change over the years. And to start talking to them about their need to be converted, one's not going to get much of a hearing. Now, I believe that there is a general principle which we need to observe here, and it's this. But what you are at home will count for more than what you say. What you are. When I look at the life of Jesus in the New Testament Gospels, I can find there an embodiment or a true expression of the laws of God, the Ten Commandments. And in particular, I find that Jesus was the embodiment of the Fifth Commandment, which incidentally is a commandment given in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Honor your father and your mother. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. Now we know that Jesus lived for 33 years. And he spent 30 of those years at home. Probably he replaced Joseph, his father, who may well have died quite young, as the chief breadwinner in the home and also as the head of the family. Now, do you see that before Jesus ever did any of his teaching, before he ever performed any of his miracles, before he did any of his healing, first of all, he lived at home. And if you'd gone into that home in Nazareth when Jesus was living there, you would have found divine love working itself out in action in a human home. And you would have found Jesus Christ at 30 still honoring his parents. What you are at home counts most. And this is where I personally have found that failure comes so easily, and maybe you have done so too. Because so often we find that we treat our homes in an unloving way. I wonder how many times your father has stormed up to you and said, "You treat this place like a hotel!" It's true. There are so many folk who, when they get to student age, just nip home for short visits. Maybe you'll have a 3-month vacation, so you nip back to get clean clothes every now and again, and then you're off somewhere else. And when you are there, do you find that so often it's easy to let them do everything for you? They're so glad to have little Johnny or little Jane back to do everything for you, if you let them. Now, a Jesus person, a Christian, is surely going to be a person who is going to try to be of practical help in the home and in the garden. One Christian has said, holiness begins at home and sanctification at the sink. Then sometimes it's easy, isn't it, to treat your home as a bank, a place for drawing money out of. I heard the story of a young chap who was away from home on holiday and suddenly found himself in a somewhat embarrassing situation in that he had completely run out of cash. So he sent a postcard home, and all he wrote on it was, "Dear Dad, SOS, LSD, RSVP. Now, a Jesus person surely isn't someone who's always on the cadge. The home is the place to practice our giving. What can I give to my home? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What can I, maybe as the only Christian in my home, what can I give to my home? Then there are some folk who find themselves treating their home like a prison. It's a place you want to get away from as much as possible, and a place that you want to stay away from as long as possible. It's also a place that you very rarely correspond with, and weeks and even months go past, and no letters from you to the prison governor. Now, one of the things about Christian love is that it seeks to see the other person's point of view, and as it were, get into their shoes and see things and feel things from their angle. Isn't it sad if the parents of Christian people, after having loved them and cared for them for so many years and brought them up, should now feel rejected by their own children, feel that they have, as it were, outgrown their usefulness? We don't need them anymore. We can now slip out of their lives. Then it's also possible to treat your home as a dustbin. You open the bedroom door and walk knee-deep into a refuse heap. "Aha," say some. "Ah, but you see, the Bible doesn't actually say, thou shalt keep thy bedroom tidy." But surely the Jesus person who's wanting to show Christian love in a practical way will want to show Christian love to the person who's going to clean that bedroom and try to make her work as easy as possible. Then it's possible to treat your home as a discotheque, a place of music and general din. But you know, I've found that as folk get older, not that I'm old of course, but as folk get older, they do tend to find that noise grates on the nerves. And surely a Christian witness of love will tend to make us want to turn down the volume before Dad comes upstairs in a towering rage because he can't hear his telly. And then it's also possible to treat your home as a kennel, a place where the children are always barking at their parents and parents barking at their children. Do you know what Paul says in his letter to the Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 12? He says this, and I believe that these words apply very much to our home life. "Put on, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience, forbearing one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." Do you call yourself a tolerant person? Then the place where your tolerance must begin to be seen is in your home, with your parents and your brothers and sisters and old Auntie Agatha. Now, I believe that God is the supreme strategist. And every Christian who is in a non-Christian home, as you may well be, is there for a purpose. God placed you there according to his divine eternal purposes. And I believe that if you will live out a consistent Christian life in your home, a life of practical, outgoing love, then this may well be a more important act of witness than all the evangelistic activities of Christian unions in the whole world.